Chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Revelation 1, verses 10 and 11. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would this evening cause your word to encourage and strengthen and bless our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've titled this portion of Scripture, The Lord's Day. I think one of the nicest things about vacations is that you can just forget everything. You go away on vacation and the first thing you do is throw away the clock. Next thing you throw away the calendar and you don't even remember what day it is anymore. And it's just very, very relaxing. John wasn't really on vacation, but as we noticed before, the island of Patmos, a barren, desolate place, was probably one of those places where you could throw away your clock and possibly even your calendar. And it's very possible that John, in his isolation there on the Isle of Patmos, could have become very much unaware as to what day of the week it was and maybe even what day of the month it was, depending upon the length of his stay there, if it was of banishment, how long it had been. And so it's very possible that John there on the Isle of Patmos was very unaware of the days and the hours as they were passing by. And it was interesting to me that as we find John there on the island, God speaking to him, that as he mentions in verse 10 that he was prepared of God to receive this special revelation, that he very specifically mentions the day on which it occurred. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, the day would not have had to be mentioned. The text would have flown quite easily that as he was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, that he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. But it very specifically says that it was on the Lord's day. To me, that implies that God has some special reason for mentioning that, since it was not necessary to mention it. God had some special reason for telling us that this revelation that is given to us, that was given to the Apostle John, was given on a specific day. And I believe that God has a special reason for our instruction that this should be mentioned and that it should have occurred, that the revelation should have been given to him on this special day. And there are three things we would like to note here regarding this portion of Scripture. The first thing is, what is the Lord's Day? We are told here that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And the first question is, what does that mean, the Lord's Day? Now, it does not mean the same thing as the Day of the Lord. That's something totally different. We find, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And there we have the description of the coming of Christ. And so the day of the Lord refers to the coming of the Lord. But here we have something different. Here we have the Lord's day. And John refers not to the coming of Christ, but he's referring to the specific occasion, the specific day on which he received these visions from the Lord. And so, the Lord's Day, first of all, is not the day of the Lord. Secondly, the Lord's Day is a day that is uniquely the Lord's. If you were reading the book of Revelation from your new interlinear Greek-English New Testament that I trust you have bought by now, and you better buy it soon because the price is going to go up, if you would be reading from your new interlinear, and as you would be going along and you would come to that phrase here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and then you would just look up from the word there, Lord's, you would find a number, and you take that number and you'd go to the back of the book to the concordance section, and you would find there the definition. And you would find that they would tell you that that word means of or pertaining to the Lord. And so the strict definition is of the Lord's Day is that it is the day that is of or pertaining to the Lord. And it gives you the reference there of Revelation 1:10. Then it also gives you another reference. It gives you the reference of 1 Corinthians 11:20. And then after 1 Corinthians 11:20, it gives you a little star, a little asterisk, and you know from reading the instructions that that means those are the only places that that word occurs in the entire New Testament. Now you have some important information there. That means there are only two places in the entire New Testament that that word occurs. Here where it says the Lord's Day, and 1 Corinthians 11:20 where we read, Paul says, when you are gathered together, referring to the Corinthians and talking about the communion service, when you are gathered together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, they were abusing it. And so it is the Lord's Supper in that it is of or pertaining to the Lord. Just as it is the Lord's Day of or pertaining to the Lord. And so that helps immensely because as you consider the Lord's table, you can then, because it's the very same word, look at the Lord's Day in exactly the same light. And you know you don't have to search any further because that's all the help you're going to get. But that's a lot. The Lord's table, the Lord's Day. And so it is a day that is uniquely the Lord's. Then thirdly, we'd like to notice that it is the day of resurrection. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, we read, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." And so Mary Magdalene came the first day of the week and found the tomb empty. And so the first day of the week is the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, we read, "Then the same day," that's the first day of the week yet, "the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And so he appeared unto them the first day of the week. And in John chapter 20 and verse 26, "And after 8 days," that's 1 week, "again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you." And so once again, the first day of the week, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And so it is the day of resurrection, and it is the day of Jesus appearing to his disciples. And then also regarding Lord's Day, it is the day observed by the early church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we find Paul there was preaching, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, to observe the communion service, the Lord's table, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And so we find that the disciples, the early church, had the custom of gathering together for the preaching of the word and the observance of the Lord's table on the first day of the week. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, Paul says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul is saying, I know you want to help the poor in Jerusalem, and I agree with that, and I'm going to come and receive that offering and take it to Jerusalem. But I don't want to have a collection. I don't want to have a receiving of that offering the day I come. I would prefer that each week, on the first day of the week, that you collect what there is for the church in Jerusalem, for the Jews in Jerusalem, so that when I come, it's all ready to go. And nobody thinks that Paul came and put some pressure on them and raised a big offering. I want it taken care of before I get there. And he says, what you do then, every first day of the week, as a body of believers, you lay by in store. Gather up that offering, so when I come, it's all taken care of. And so the emphasis again, that the early church found the first day of the week to be a very special day for them. And then fifthly, the day of the Lord is the day after the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that God commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day is a special day. That's the day that God rested from his labors. And it was very special to God. God rested the seventh day because the sixth day he made man. And he said, what am I going to have man there for if I don't have fellowship with him? And so he said, we're going to have to call a halt to this and have a day of rest so that we can have fellowship. And so after man was created the sixth day, the seventh day, there was fellowship for God and man. And so God rested not because he was tired, but because he wanted to have fellowship with the man that he had made. And so the Sabbath day was very special to God. But in the Old Testament, we find many references to the day after the Sabbath. And we find that the day after the Sabbath was also a very special day. For example, in Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 10 and 11. Leviticus 23, verses 10 and 11. When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, isn't that interesting? The offering of the first fruits was not to be offered on the Sabbath. It was to be offered on the day after the Sabbath. And we know from the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And so the first fruits was for the day after the Sabbath, or the first day of the week. We find also in Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 15 and 16, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And ye shall bring out of your habitation wave loaves. And here we have then the special day of Pentecost. And this was to be on the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. Once again, then, a very special day in the economy of God, even in the Old Testament, and it was to be the first day of the week. And so the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, and we find it to be, throughout Scripture, to be a very special day. Now, the second thing we want to notice is, why is the Lord's Day important? Well, this was the day in which John had special fellowship with the Lord. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, John here was speaking of a very special experience for him. We find, for example, in chapter 4 and verse 1 that he mentions, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." And in verse 2 he says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And so when he says that he was in the Spirit, this was a very special occasion for John in which he was given this revelation, different from our normal and his normal daily occurrences. We are to be in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. We find, "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you." And so the normal Christian life is walking in the Spirit. "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And so the normal Christian life is walking in the Spirit. But this was a very special occasion for John, as God gave him this special time in which he gave him this special revelation for us. Now, we can have fellowship with God all week long. We walk in the Spirit every day of the week. But there's also something very special about the fellowship of setting aside a special day for the Lord of fellowship. And John here was on the Lord's day when this special revelation came to him. And so there is the instruction here. God is giving us the indication that there was a special blessing here on a special day that he has given to us. There is then a time that God has set aside that he calls the Lord's Day, and in which he gives to us special blessings. Now, we get blessings all week long, and so we can worship God during the week as well as on the Lord's Day. But the Lord's Day is the weekly reminder that all of our time belongs to the Lord. And so once a week, we remind ourselves every day belongs to God. And so it isn't that we only worship on the Lord's Day. It's that the Lord's Day worship is a reminder that we always worship, and that every day in its entirety belongs to him. And so we gather together to worship on the Lord's Day. Now, it's true, some will say, "Well, I can be in the Spirit and not in church." Well, that's true. Providing you're not being in church is not disobedience. You know what the scriptures say, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." And so if you have forsaken the assembling of yourselves together, don't kid yourself that you're in the Spirit someplace else. Can't be. Others will say, "Well, you can be in church and not be in the Spirit." Well, that's true. I'll agree with that too. You can be warming a pew and not be in the Spirit, and having God communicate to your spirit as you worship him. But nevertheless, we still have the set forth in Scripture God's plan that we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, a very special time. And it's not only a time in which there is special fellowship, it's also a time of special instruction. We read that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and we read that he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. And so it was a time for John of special instruction. And that's what it ought to be for us as well. The Lord's Day ought to be a time of special instruction. There was a great voice, and the power of the voice would seem to indicate the glory of the revelation that was given to him. It was the voice as of a trumpet. One thing about a trumpet is that its sound is loud and clear and distinct. And that's the way it ought to be. And God's word ought to come to us loud and clear and distinct, providing for us the instruction that we need for our lives to be able to walk daily in the Spirit. And so the Lord's Day is a day of special fellowship and special instruction. Some would say, "Well, if the Lord's Day is the day of special instruction and fellowship, why do we have prayer meeting then? Why do we have any other meetings?" Well, the one day reminds us that we need it every day. And so it isn't that we get all that we need in one day. I don't think that God had all the fellowship with Adam in one day either. We do know that God rested the seventh day, and that was undoubtedly a very special time with Adam. We also read that God had Adam name the animals. That was work. So that wasn't on the day of rest. That must have been some other day. So they had fellowship doing things. And that's what we do during the week. We have fellowship doing other things. We have banquets like we had this past week. And other kinds of fellowship that we can have together and with the Lord. And so God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And that could have been every day. And so there's room for fellowship with God every day. Even though we do have a special day, we can have additional times of fellowship. The Bible says we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart. And when you love someone with all your heart, you want to be with them as much as you can. And so there is that desire to gain all of the fellowship and all of the instruction that we can. And so the Lord's Day is important because of the special fellowship and instruction that we receive. And then thirdly, how do we use the Lord's Day? Well, how did John here use the Lord's Day? We see, first of all, he used the Lord's Day for listening to the Lord. And it's important that as we come to worship, that we come to listen to the Lord. Because God desires to speak to us. John was very attentive as he, that day, heard the voice. And he was very attentive to that which was said. And I'm glad he was. Aren't you glad that partway through the book, John didn't start having wandering thoughts, thinking what he was going to have for supper or what he was going to do tomorrow or something like that? John was attentive right on through, and he got all of it for us. And we need to be sure that we are attentive to the voice of God as we gather together to worship Him, that we have our attention on the Word of God and that our desire is that He teach us insights from His Word as we are gathered together. And so we want to be alert to everything that God has to say to us. That God then would take the general truths of His Word and make them to be very specific to our lives. I find many times that as I'm listening to a message, God will bring to my mind something else related to what is being said that specifically applies to my situation. And many times after listening to a message that has been preached, I'll go out with something very specific that God has told me to do that the preacher hasn't even mentioned. Now, he mentioned some things that were related to that, that prompted my thinking, and he used some scriptures that reminded me of certain things, but the Spirit of God would tell me something, would speak to me about something that the preacher hadn't even mentioned. And so we need to be alert to the Spirit of God. We need to hear. We need to listen. And John was there listening, alert to all that God would say to him. And then we find that God says to him, "What thou seest, write in a book." And I believe it does increase our attentiveness if we write down the things that God says to us. Now, I don't mean that we necessarily have to write down all of everything, of all of the sermons that we hear. Sometimes that can be very profitable and helpful. But I do believe we ought to be very attentive to what God wants to say to us. And we want to write down everything that He impresses upon our hearts. Sometimes making fuller notes will help us to concentrate better. Fine. But we ought to be very alert to what God is saying to us, and we ought to get it down in writing. It helps us to remember what God has said to us, and it helps us then to not forget which God wants us to do as a result of what He has spoken to us of. It increases our attentiveness, it increases our retention. And not only as we are in services and God speaks to us about something, but all week long, as God speaks to us from His Word or from something He brings into our lives, we ought to write it down. Now, maybe you have an excellent memory and maybe you never forget anything. That's wonderful. I just envy you and wish that perhaps I could remember more. But I find that if I want to remember something, I have to write it down or else I'll forget it. And we don't want to forget what God gives us. God gives us special blessings. And we don't want to treat those things carelessly. But we want to treasure what God gives us. And if we're going to treasure up what God gives us, we have to write it down or we will forget it. And so we must be careful about being careless with what God has given to us, what He teaches us and what He shows us. And so He told John, He said, John, I want you to write these things in a book. Now, aren't you glad that John wrote these things in a book? Where would we be? Where would we be if John said, you know, I was on the Isle of Patmos and I just had such a blessing one day. You know, God spoke to me and I was just in the heavenlies and it was a tremendous day. What a blessing that was. And we'd say, yeah, great. Must have been nice. But John wrote the things down and he could share with us what God taught him. And that's what we need to do for each other. I was really blessed on Thursday night as we had a time of sharing in our candlelight dinner. Many people who shared what God was doing for them, the way He was blessing, and what a joy that was. They were sharing specific things. I don't know if they wrote them down or not, but at least it was soon enough after what it happened so that they remembered what God had done. Maybe they'd written it down and that's why they remembered. I don't know. But we need to share these things, and many times we will forget them if we don't write them down. And we need to keep a life notebook in which we jot down the things that God does for us, so that we can show God that we consider that what He does for us is important, and that we treasure the things that He does for us. And so we need to retain these things. Whether in your perfect memory you can do it, or whether you need to write it down, we need to retain them. Don't let them slip. Don't let them go. Don't be ungrateful to God by just letting slide through your fingers blessings that He gives to you that you should be sharing with other people. And so John wrote these things down, and that's why he could share them with us. We have the benefit of these things because he wrote them down. And so the importance then of sharing, and God says, send these things to the churches because it'll be a blessing to them. And we need also to share with one another what God is teaching us. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want people to think I'm bragging or something. Well, don't let a false humility rob us of what God is doing for you. No, we aren't going. We know that you're human, and we know you. We aren't going to think that you have now arrived at the absolute perfection as God is perfect. You know, don't be concerned that we are going to misunderstand. We want the blessing, and if God's blessed you, we'll rejoice with you. And so, don't cheat us because you fail to share with us what God is doing out of a false humility or pride or something like that. We need to share with one another, just as John here shares with us that which God had given to him. The tremendous experiences that John had, the revelation that was given to him. And this is helpful to us. And I know at the dinner on Thursday, some of the experiences that other people had were helpful to me. Now, we don't build our doctrine on experience. We build our doctrine on the Word of God. But experience illustrates doctrine. And experience makes doctrine become very, very meaningful. As we see it put into shoe leather, as we see it put into daily life. In the Scriptures, for example, many times the Old Testament is referred to as the picture book because there is so much illustration in the Old Testament. All of the things that God did with Israel, and we're told in the New Testament, God did those things with Israel for our instruction. Now, we don't get our doctrine from the experiences. We get our doctrine from the statements. But the experiences illustrate the statements. And so that's why we have in Scripture the commandments, and then we have the judgments, which are the practical applications, how those commandments apply to specific situations, and then we have the testimonies. And the testimonies are the daily life illustrations of how that works when you obey or when you don't obey. And so the way that God uses His truth in your life helps illustrate to me the applications of that truth. And so this is very important that we share with one another. that we note very carefully the things that God does for us, and then that we share those things with one another. And so the Lord's Day is a very special day, a day of special provision for us as God's people. Now, in the New Testament, we have no laws, no commandments as to what we are to do or not to do on the Lord's Day. We are just reminded that there is such a thing as the Lord's Day, but we are not told specifically what we have to do and can't do on the Lord's Day. And Paul says in Romans 14, "Let no man judge you in the observance of a holy day." And so we're not to judge one another as to what we can do and can't do on the Lord's Day. But we are told that there is a Lord's Day, and that it's His day just like the Lord's Supper is His supper. And although we're not to judge one another, we're also told in that same chapter of 1 Corinthians 11 to judge ourselves. And so although we're not to judge one another, we are to judge ourselves. And I'm to judge myself as to how I use the Lord's Day. Nobody else can judge me, but I must judge myself. Each one of us are to give account to God. And so we need to remind ourselves there is a very special day that is given to us for our benefit, that we might seek the Lord. And I need to judge myself. Am I really getting all the benefit that God intended for me when He gave this very special day, the Lord's Day, this day after the Sabbath that commemorates the first fruits from the dead, the resurrection, that day that commemorates the Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, that day in which I am to be in the Spirit in a very special way, listening to God, receiving from Him, and then preparing to share with others that which God gives to me. Father, we thank You for Your gracious provisions for us. We thank You for this book of Revelation that was given to us, and we know that for some very special reason You told us that this was given to us on the Lord's Day. And we thank You for this, and pray that You would enable us by Your grace to receive all of the benefit that we ought to be receiving from the Lord's Day, that it might be to us a day of special blessing, that we then in turn might have a ministry of special blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.